have five things I want to say, and I have them numbered, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so I won't get them out of order or mess them up. And all five of these are stages or steps that we'll find in sort of comprehending this whole mystery of the Word being made flesh, of our comprehension of the nativity of our Lord. One, God is invisible. That's probably not a surprise to anyone. I don't know anyone who has actually seen God, perceived God, had a sense of God's presence, but now, if you want to prove me wrong on that, if anybody, you know, has seen God walking around, you know, I don't disbelieve that, but generally, we think of the divine as that which is unseen, which is a problem for us when we take the gospel passage, and which after all was written so that people would come to believe, and the first thing you say is, well, God's invisible. Who was the Russian cosmonaut, the first one that was in space? Was that Yuri? I think he said that sort of in proof that God did not exist. He said, well, when I went up there and came back down, I didn't see God. Not surprising, I suppose. The assumption, of course, that the dwelling place of God is somehow just above our own atmosphere. God is invisible. No one has ever seen God, says verse 18 of our gospel today. But what fools we can make of ourselves by denying the things we cannot see. We cannot see the air that we breathe. We cannot see the love that we feel. But yet they are as real as anything that we can touch or taste or experience. God is invisible. Makes it a little harder for us to comprehend. Makes us work a little bit. Two, God reveals the divine self in the law of Moses. In verse 17, we hear, and from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, that, of course, does not mean that the law that's given through Moses is contrary to grace and truth. The law is, in fact, graceful and truthful, but it is not the full embodiment of this grace. That comes through the knowledge and the experience of Jesus. But the law was a witness to the reality of grace and truth and a promise that it would come. The third truth is that God became human. Didn't pretend to become human. Actually took on flesh and blood. Became one of us. For all that that meant, good and bad. Warts and all. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt among us. Now the power of that may be better understood if we back up to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That term, dwelt among us, literally means that God pitched a tent beside ours, to pitch a tent beside ours. Anyone ever pitched a tent? Gone camping and, yeah. I always thought when I understood that, of the notion of God coming and pitching a tent, it was a nice way of God coming and being around us, but it was a temporary kind of thing. Most of us that have spent any time in tents, it's a short-lived experience, thank God. Two of my children and I hiked the Appalachian Trail a number of years ago, and we'd had pretty much enough of tents by the time that was over. But remember, these were nomadic people. They all lived in tents, and not temporarily, not just on weekends or on vacations. They lived in tents every day of their lives, and they would pick up their tents and move to a new place. They were wandering people. And the notion that God would pitch God's tent right beside them, and when they picked up camp and went somewhere else, God would go there with them. God pitches his tent beside us, always with us, always experiencing what we experience. Number four, in Jesus, we actually see and come to know who God is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. We have seen his glory. Now, remember what number one was? God's invisible. But number four, all of a sudden, not so much. Because if we have seen Jesus, we have seen his Father. You see, God wants to be seen. God does not want to remain invisible and unknown to us. God wants us to experience the fullness of God's being and of God's grace. So if we want to know what God is, what God is like, we look at the life of Jesus. And that's why whenever we gather in church, we read a story from the gospel. Because if we go, you know that Jesus guy? God's a lot like him. In fact, God is just like him. Fifth, God came to give us grace. And the kicker is, we must receive it. We must receive it. Verse 16 is the answer. And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. So this last step is not just that God has come to show us grace, but to give us grace. Hand it right over to us, plop it right in our lap. It's all ours now. God does not just want to, you know, fill our heads with notions, with knowledge about truth and grace. God wants to for us to experience it, to feel it, to know it. This Christmas and every Christmas, God wants to give to you and to me personally a foundation of truth and reality that will stand up throughout each and every day of our lives. A truth that we come to know and experience and that nothing will ever shake. Something that will clear our conscience. Something that will help us with our daily problems. To give us strength for each day. And to fill us with hope and joy and peace. And that's what the meaning of grace is. The experience of God dwelling not just within Jesus, but dwelling within us. And that's why God pitched a tent next to me and next to you, so that wherever we might be, no matter how far we seem to have wandered and strayed, God is with us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, pitched a tent next to us, full of grace and full of truth. Amen. And Merry Christmas.